You will face temptation. I mean, I don't care if you stay at home or if you travel around the world. And I find that if we are not prepared in advance to know that we will face temptation, we may fall faster than we thought we'd fall.
You know, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, one of his most practical and relevant lines was this: "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Welcome to this edition of The Tide. On today's broadcast, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger begins his two-part series, Fleeing Temptation and Sin. And we'll get started in just a few moments. First, though, let's join Dwayne for some opening thoughts. Dwayne, Jesus taught us to ask him for help regarding sin and temptation. But at some point, don't we have to help ourselves to make some tough decisions about the kinds of things that we expose ourselves to?
Dave, you're exactly right. We are not puppets on God's strings. He doesn't expect us to be wimps where he does everything for us. Scripture calls us to be warriors. There's a part for us to play in the battle. I think Ephesians is very clear. There are things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to put on the armor. Ephesians really talks about spiritual warfare all the way through the book. But yes, there are things that we need to do to help us overcome sin and temptation. God is the source. He's the power. But there are parts we must play.
We know Satan's methods are subtle, and that makes it all the more difficult to eliminate certain behavior patterns. How can we tell when something we watch or listen to is doing us harm?
The first thing that comes to my mind when you ask me that question is WWJD. What would Jesus do? If he was there sitting beside you, would he watch that? Would you feel comfortable watching that if he was there? Would you listen to that song or that particular talk show? It's comforting and encouraging to know that the Holy Spirit is not on vacation. He's always there. All we have to do is tune in and listen for his small voice. I believe he is faithful to check us, to warn us. I think sometimes we feel the prompting. There's sort of this almost a nervous rush that begins to happen when we feel like we're on the verge of temptation and sin. And the Holy Spirit is sitting there and saying, you shouldn't watch that. You shouldn't see that. What are we going to do with that? He is faithful to convict us and to show us what we're supposed to do or what we're not supposed to do.
Now, what do you do when you're surrounded by sin? Well, perhaps the best solution is to surrender. Oh, not to temptation. But to the one who can deliver us from it. To hear more, let's join Dwayne now for his message, Fleeing Temptation and Sin.
Dr. George Sweeting tells a story of his family visiting the Niagara Falls in the early spring. It was just the time of the year when the ice began to break up and would begin to float down the Niagara River and over the falls. And he says in the story that actually in the blocks or the chunks of ice, you could actually see fish that had frozen in the water. And as it was thawing, seagulls were drawing to this area, and they were landing on the chunks of ice, eating fish that had frozen in the ice. And they said one of the things that was really interesting, they would stay on that block of ice, eating that fish, until they'd get very close to the edge. And then they would start to flap their big wings, and they would take off just as the ice would plunge over the falls. He said, however, they were watching one seagull that was getting perilously close to the edge of that waterfall, apparently really enjoying that fish. And at the last moment, just as the ice was about to go over the edge, it began to flap its wings in a furious attempt to go up and escape that drop. But there was something wrong. It couldn't seem to get away. It seemed even momentarily was lifting the ice up out of the water, but the weight of the ice was much greater than the seagull could sustain, and the seagull plunged with the ice to its death. I'm concerned that many, including believers, think they will be able to separate themselves from their pet sins, and they will find themselves hopelessly hooked, frozen to that sin, and plunged to their death. You see, there is something within us that thinks at just the last moment we'll be able to escape and overcome that sin. Our society is saturated with suggestive images of all kinds of sin, temptation, and immorality. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, sin is flaunted in front of us, supposedly suggesting that we will find fulfillment. And it's in movies, magazines, conversations, television, billboards, newspapers, books, radio. It's coming at us from everywhere. Today I want to talk to you about fleeing temptation and sin. What are you going to do? How are you going to overcome? Are you supposing at that last moment before the trumpet sounds and the rapture happens, or before you fall down dead or have that fatal action, are you supposing at that moment the petty sin in your life you'll be able to somehow escape? There may be the few, but most of us need to determine where we're headed now if we want to make sure of our destination. We're going to look at a character today who was a wonderful model of overcoming temptation and sin. If you'll turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 39, it's the story of Joseph. Genesis 39, beginning at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he had trusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." So she kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, listen to this phrase again, "the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden." So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph was a man who overcame temptation and sin. I want to tell you right at the beginning today, we are called to be like Christ, but we are also called to follow the example of Joseph. Joseph was a symbol in the Old Testament of Christ. He was a symbol of a Savior. He was a symbol of a model of integrity, of holiness, of character. And in his life, he actually provided salvation for many people who were hungry during a time of famine. But there are several things I want you to notice about his life today. As we talk about taking a stand against temptation and sin, first thing I want you to notice, remember, God is with you no matter what happens. You remember as a young boy, he was favored by his father. He was given a coat of many colors. His brothers hated him. I don't know if you grew up in a family. I had the privilege to grow up in a good family, and siblings, we had our, you know, our spats and spouts and all those kind of things, but we had a good family. Can you imagine growing up in a family where it says in chapter 37 that his brothers hated him? And eventually they went off on a distant place, and father sent him on a journey to find out how they were and perhaps take message to them and maybe even some goodies. But when Joseph arrived, you know the story. They were disgusted. They despised him. They were going to kill him. If it wouldn't have been for Reuben, they would have killed him. But they decided to throw him in a pit. I want you to know that no matter where you are, God is with you, even if it's in a pit. And then what happened next? They sold Joseph to some merchants, and he sent off into some distant land. You may feel like you've been betrayed. You've been sold. But God is with you even when you're sold and you've been betrayed. And then he's sold on a slave block. I want you to know, no matter what disgraceful thing happens in your life, God is still with you. He was put in Potiphar's house to take care of the goods, and everything was put in his charge. And a false accusation came against him. And he went from a pit to a palace to a prison. But God was still with him in the prison. And because of his integrity and because of his faithfulness and his obedience to God, God was able to take him from a pit to a palace to a prison back to a position of authority and impact to make a difference in the world. No matter where you are, no matter where you will go, remember, God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The difficulties that you experience in this life are actually God's shaping tools to prepare you for the next opportunity. You see, God loves you the way you are today, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. He sees a couple things that need to be changed, and I'm guessing as I look at the life of Joseph, as a young boy, he probably became arrogant, proud, and cocky. After all, he had a dream from God. I mean, he told his brothers, "I want you to listen to this dream that I had." Because he envisioned that it was about him, and that his brothers would bow down to him, and even his parents would bow down to him. I think that God saw there was a few things that had to be shaped in Joseph's life. And I would like to submit to you for your consideration today that when God looks at you, yes, he loves you, but he sees a few things in your life that aren't quite like Christ. Are you identifying with that? And so he needs to apply some chipping and chiseling. He needs to put you on the lathe of life, and things are spinning really fast, and put those gouges into you, and pieces of wood are flying off that. And when he stops everything and he picks you up, he puts you into that staircase as a beautiful piece, or as a reflection of his glory. Whatever it is, he wants to use these experiences as a shaping tool. Just remember, when life is going rotten and you feel like you're in a pit or a prison, that God is with you right where you are. Second thing I want you to notice from this story is you are to do your best wherever you are. Now, I notice that as being a characteristic of Joseph. No matter where he went, no matter what happened, it seemed like he always did his best. I mean, he obviously worked around home. His dad broke up the chores and he did his part. But I notice it specifically when he's hired as a slave. His master begins to notice there's something different about this boy. He works hard. He arrives early. He works late. He has integrity. He's a model of character, and he sets an example for the other slaves in the house. And soon Potiphar is saying, "I think he ought to be in charge." And he starts raising him up to responsibility. I want you to know that moving up in leadership and taking new positions isn't really that difficult. Just get to work earlier, work harder than the others, and work longer than the others work. Soon your supervisor, your boss, will begin to notice, that guy's good. That lady works hard. They'll start talking to you about opportunities to advance you in that place. I think back over my own life. I remember when I got out of high school, I worked in construction. I heard some of these principles. Get there early, work hard, be willing to stay longer than the others. You see, everybody else is watching their clock. Do they do that where you work? They're watching their clock. They're moaning, whining, complaining. But I just kept working hard. When it came time I was going to go off to Bible college, the owner of the company came to me and said, Dwayne, if you'll stay, I'll make you a supervisor in our company. But I couldn't stay. God had called me to go. And that happened several times. It happened when I went in to work with the United Parcel Service. Work hard. Give your best. And they came and said to me, would you like to consider going into supervision? Yeah, I could walk around at a nice certain time and let somebody else load those trucks. So you see, I want you to understand a very basic principle. The cream always rises to the top. True? What are we called to be in this world? Ambassadors for Christ. We are supposed to be setting the example. We are to be the model. We are to be the salt. We are to be the light. And we are in the midst of all this to remember that in everything we do, to do it as unto my supervisor. Is that what the Bible says? To do it as unto my boss. No. To do it as unto the Lord. That kind of helps me get a perspective in the midst of that workplace. Because he is the one who sees how I work. He is the one who raises up and puts down. I'm working for the Lord, not for you fill in the blank. And I see that Joseph rose to the top. Now, the next thing I notice is that the Lord blesses your obedience. The Lord blesses your obedience. In every situation, as he worked hard and did his best, God blessed him. I was looking through this chapter again this morning as I was reviewing for the message today, and I began to notice over and over in this chapter it says, the Lord was with him. Verse 2, the Lord was with him. Verse 3, you get on down in the chapter. Verse 21, the Lord was with him. And last verse of the chapter, verse 23, because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was blessing him. And the Lord is the one who gave him success when he was in Potiphar's house. The Lord was the one who helped him rise up to be a leader even in the prison. The Lord was one who took him out of the prison and put him back in the position of authority. So you see, do your best wherever you are. The Lord will bless you. God wants to get the attention of your boss. God wants to get the attention of your supervisor, your co-workers. But you have to set the example and the model that will captivate your boss's and your supervisor's attention. Now, something that I found so common in the secular workplaces was several things. Everybody's watching their clock. Most everybody's complaining about their job, the circumstances, the job they have to do, the environment in which they do it. I mean, you've been there, done that. And if we're not careful, we'll become whiners just like the rest. But I believe that God wants us to be winners instead of whiners. He wants us to mobilize instead of mope. Which one are you? And if we find ourselves falling prey to that salesman, we'll find ourselves getting caught up in the whining and the moping, the groping and complaining, and how bad it is. Poor me! Do you notice that in Joseph's life, in all these scenarios he got into, not once is there any indication that he went into the poor me scenario? He kept going to the top. Too often we as believers, fall into that same critical, lazy, bad-mouthing attitude of the others that we work with in our workplaces. We find ourselves cutting down other employees, cutting down supervisors and bosses, being negative about our environment. And when we speak junk, we draw the enemy to continue to spread his havoc in our hearts. The Christian employee should be distinctly different. I mean, just reading this story, I get the idea that Joseph just, I mean, I think he just radiated. I mean, his countenance, I just envisioned that he was just kind of the guy who made a difference wherever he went because he had the presence of God with him. You see, Joseph was blessed because he was blessable. I ask you the question, are you blessable? Are you blessable in your work spot, your workspace? Are you obedient? Are you honoring God? Are you working as unto the Lord? Because when you do, you put yourself under the spout where the glory comes out, and you get blessed, and you become a blessing to other people. Do you understand that Potiphar and his household was blessed because Joseph was there? Do you understand that the prison and all those inmates and even the prison guard was blessed because he was there? Do you understand that Egypt and all those who came for food for months and years to come were blessed because Joseph was there? Do you understand that God wants to make you a blessing? And when you get so blessed and it starts spilling out onto other people, you'll make a difference in your society, in your world for Christ. You will face temptation. You will face temptation. I mean, I don't care if you stay at home or if you travel around the world. You will face temptation. And I find that if we are not prepared in advance to know that we will face temptation, we may fall faster than we thought we'd fall. We have to have a conscious, continual awareness of the temptation that's going to come our way. Maybe this will help you understand of this continual awareness. When we were in Africa, if we were ever riding bicycles or walking, we weren't concerned about it if we were in a vehicle, but if we were ever walking or on a bicycle, there was a continual awareness of something. Anybody want to guess what it might be? Snakes. Constantly on the lookout. Now, it didn't mean we walked in fear. It didn't mean we walked around weird, you know, or strange. We just walked along. But there was an awareness that we were constantly living under. At any moment, on any path, on any tree branch, there may be a snake. And with that awareness, we were much quicker to see it if it was there. Satan, like a snake, is trying to still slither up beside us and suggest the same kind of things he said to Adam and Eve in the garden.
Now for some final thoughts. Let's join our director, Don Schenk, who is in studio with Dwayne. Fellas?
Thanks, Dave. Now, Dwayne, I'm going to take this conversation in a totally different direction here. Tell me, how many radios do you have access to?
Oh, my. 7 or 8.
So you could pretty much listen to the radio anytime you wanted to, wherever you are.
That's true. About anywhere I am, anywhere I'm going, I have access to the radio.
Well, now the reason I ask that is because today I want to share with you a story that I heard from one of our staff partners in India. And it concerns a young girl who lived in a village. And one day she had this opportunity to go visit her uncle who lived in the city. Her uncle had a radio, something she didn't have at home. So she was quite excited and had the opportunity to listen to the radio while she was there. And while she was tuning through the stations, she came across our Hindi broadcast there. And it really touched her. She was very much interested in what she heard. And so she wrote down the address that was given at the end of the program. And when she got home, she wrote to our office and asked for more information about Jesus Christ and this salvation she was hearing about.
Wow, that's exciting that our broadcasts that are being aired in India are getting people's attention. They're stirring up that spiritual hunger. I think, Don, our partners there would follow up on her. What has happened since she heard the broadcast and then sent for literature?
Well, Dwayne, there is more to the story because in her letter, she actually lamented the fact that since she had returned to her home there in the village and didn't have a radio, she couldn't listen to the program anymore. And our staff there in India published a part of her letter in our Hindi newsletter there. A Christian gentleman read that in the newsletter, went and purchased a radio, and sent it to our office with instructions for it to be delivered to this young lady. Now, the most exciting part is that a while later, we received another letter from this young lady, just full of joy and expressing thanksgiving for the radio. But the most exciting news she shared in her letter was that not only had she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, but she had convinced her whole family to listen to this program, and the entire family had given their lives to Christ.
Wow, that's great. That's exactly what we are trying to do in those places that don't have evangelists and churches, so we can get the broadcast out and let them hear the gospel through the radio.
And you know, Duane, this is a wonderful story of how a chain of events can culminate in one person's generosity helping to bring others to Christ. But it does highlight that need, and it's the reason I asked you at the beginning about radios. Our radio broadcasts, they are available throughout India in 7 different languages, but there are so many people we can't reach because they don't have a radio to listen to. Now, to overcome this hurdle, we're starting a project to provide a radio in each village. We want to buy a shortwave radio that we can place in a village, and we hope to have one person assigned or a family assigned in that village as a custodian of the village, but with the understanding that this is a community radio available for anyone to listen to. We're just hoping that people will be able to come together. Hopefully we can find a Christian to be the custodian of the radio who can invite others to come and listen to the Christian programming. This project, I believe, has the potential to greatly increase the number of people who we can reach. And it's a project that our listeners can become directly involved in.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Don. How can our listeners get involved in helping to provide radios for people to hear the gospel message?
Well, if you'd like to be a part of this project, here's Dave with information on how you can help provide radios for needy villagers in India.
Now, the Word of God has a powerful way of changing the lives of those who hear it and respond to Christ. With your help, we've been broadcasting the good news of salvation throughout India and seeing some great results. But there are many people in India who have not yet heard the gospel because they don't even own a radio and they don't have access to one. Now today, we're asking you to help change that situation by joining us in our campaign to provide a radio for every village in India. To find out more about the role that you can play in this huge undertaking, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. As always, today's program, Fleeing Temptation and Sin, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call us and ask for tape or CD number 0413. Or send your request to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. To find out how you can help us share the gospel, or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, coming up next week, the conclusion